Welcome back, dear listeners, to the Dish with Dina podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Today's episode is all about mindful eating, which ties in nicely to last week's discussion about meal planning and hopefully helps support you if you've made any resolutions this year to engage in new habits, create boundaries for yourself, or break free from whatever is no longer serving you. Mindfulness doesn't have to be tied to just eating habits, so take away from today's discussion whatever resonates with you and apply it to other parts of your life that might make more sense. I'd also encourage you to go back and listen to some of the older episodes, like episode 11 with Maurice White, episode 15 with Sonia Ahuja, episodes 46 and 67 with Karen Ross and Steve Walker, and episode 76 with LaRonda Bolden, if you're looking for any motivation, inspiration, or even accountability in helping you prioritize what matters most in your world. So sit back, enjoy the conversation, and let's dish. Our topic today is mindful eating, and it happens to be the awareness topic of January. There is a mindful approach, and I think this ties in nicely to New Year's resolutions, or sometimes we start off the new year with wanting to engage in different habits, improving on some of the choices and changes we want to make in our lives. So I think mindful eating ties in nicely here. Now, what I want to say about that is, even though I'm going to be focusing on the eating and food choices and habits around the food and nutrition world, a lot of what I'm about to share with you can apply to really any kind of health and wellness habits. What mindful eating means to me, for a few things, is number one, because I have to manage certain chronic conditions, I've shared many times on here that I have hypertension, high blood pressure, and I also have high cholesterol, and I also can get a little bit caught in the weeds. So there's some mental health concerns and management that I have to take into account there as well, that making choices mindfully for the foods that I'm choosing and eating over the course of the day, over the course of the week, really helps me with managing those mental and physical issues that I have. Also, I am the type of person, especially since I don't have a typical 9-to-5 traditional job, that I can get very caught up in whatever it is that I'm doing. So mindfulness to me also makes sure that I am sitting down and savoring my meals, allowing myself whatever time I have, whether it's 10 minutes to grab and go and eat something on the go, or it's more than that, 30 to 45 minutes if I have the luxury or the ability to do that, either at the start of the day, just to take time to myself and really engage and savor the pleasures of eating, the act of eating, sitting down and looking at the food and feeling like I'm really grateful to have the ability to afford and have access to this food and nourish myself as well. And the third thing too with mindfulness, which ties in a little bit to what we talked about in the last episode about meal planning, is that it provides me with the ability to plan up front and know the choices that I'm making, know what I want to offer myself as far as food is concerned, and also make adjustments wherever need be if things are going a little bit off kilter, as they sometimes do get to go in a typical week in the life of me, where I might be juggling quite a few things and not really having the set time to have your typical, you know, 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. So being mindful about that, also being mindful of what my schedule looks like, of what I'm going to be doing over the course of the day and the week, what my options are when I'm out, and allowing myself some flexibility in there too, to make choices, yes, that adhere to the priorities I'm making with my own health and wellness goals, but also allow me the flexibility and freedom to move around a little bit if I need to make some game day decisions and change up my repertoire, whether it's, you know, I have low energy, things like that. I mean, that's part of mindfulness as well. So think about what that might mean for you. What is mindful eating for you? Mindful habits in general, but mindful eating in particular. And when it comes to the getting started with it, if you've never done something like this before, if you've never really paid attention to what it is that you're taking in, then I might encourage you to tune in a little bit to your body. And a lot of the things I'm about to share might seem easier said than done. And so I want to allow you some trial and error and maybe give yourself a little homework assignment that you don't go full in to honoring your hunger and fullness cues if you've never paid attention to that before, or if you've had some challenges, whether it's gastrointestinal things, if you've had some disordered eating habits, if you're at a place in your life, like in certain stages of life, depending on medications or physical ailments, where your body just doesn't tell you, I'm hungry and I'm full. But that could be a really great opportunity just to tune in to what your body is telling you. And if it's not telling you anything, then that can be a chance for you to create for yourself some sort of routine or structure just to make sure that you are nourishing yourself and not either making impulse decisions or worse off, forgetting to eat and going many, many hours throughout the day without having anything in your body. Mindful eating could also mean taking the time, like I just said before, of chewing and swallowing and savoring the flavors, the textures, the aromas. Maybe you've also played a role in preparing those foods too. So being mindful about what you're purchasing, bringing home with you, how you're creating meals, honoring and respecting your culture, your food preferences, your choices, allowing you to experiment with different flavors and different types of foods and cuisines. Mindful eating can also mean taking distractions away. Listen, I know I sit here and I do that too. I scroll on my phone or I turn on YouTube or I watch television while I'm eating. And I would recommend that if you can, again, this could just be maybe a once a week thing or however many meals that you might be having in an environment that you feel safe and secure in, that you allow yourself the ability just to focus on the food in front of you. It's kind of weird sometimes if you've never been quiet to allow your mind to kind of go in that direction of not being busy. But I also appreciate too of seeing what comes up when I'm offering myself the ability just to be quiet. We can also talk about the mindful eating in real life. So, if you, right, I've said this last week too. I talked about kind of taking a look at your schedule. So, at the time of this recording, I'm just going to be starting my first week of my spring semester, and my days are going to be much different than they were than over winter break, where I had all the time in the world to do whatever I wanted to and prepare meals for myself. Now, I'm either going to have to take things with me to go, which I don't love doing because I don't have access sometimes to refrigerators or places to store my things. And I have to really be careful of my back. I have such back problems that I don't want to be lugging my laptop, my books, my notebooks, and then also a lunch bag with me. So some of the things I might have to eat while I'm out and about might be things that I can find on campus. And so being mindful there, looking and seeing what might be available to me, also maybe taking a look at the, I'm familiar with my campus setting. So I'm familiar also with the establishments around that block where I can go across the street to one of the delis and I can either get some soup or have them create a meal for me. And of course, the mindfulness in this too is making sure that it's budget friendly because I, juggle a lot of different positions and I am also an entrepreneur. So I have to be careful of what I'm putting my money towards and not spending too much when I'm away. So, mindfulness in that way for me looks like thinking to myself, okay, so today's a perfect example. I got up, I ate a pretty hearty meal, I enjoyed the time by myself. Once I leave my home and I go to campus, I'm going to have to eat both lunch and dinner there because I have about, oh gosh, what is it? Like 8 hours or so that I have back-to-back classes with a very small break in between. So I'm going to be bringing with me some things that don't have to be refrigerated. I have a packet of tuna, like a peel open pouch of tuna, and I have some protein bars with me, and I have a bag of nuts. And in this case, I could have also made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. These things are quite small that I can just grab and go. But it really makes me feel happy to know that I'll be taking the time to nourish myself. I'm being mindful about that versus running out of here with no plan, maybe not having the cash on me or not wanting to spend the money. And then I definitely do not encourage going without food, especially when I'm going to have to be on and teaching for close to 8 hours, that I don't want to end up lacking focus or falling asleep or passing out while I'm in class. So I want to make sure I have something in my stomach. So mindful eating to me, when I'm on the go or when I'm traveling or when I have time away from my home environment, is to think in advance and plan a little bit more accordingly. I want to also just clarify something. We might hear these terms being used interchangeably, and they're not exactly the same. So mindful eating is really just a matter of what I've just said, right? Listening and paying attention to some cues, maybe being a little bit more proactive, allowing yourself to take away any distractions and focus on the meal that is in front of you. Allow yourself to be nourished and savor that. Intuitive eating is technically a term placed on a set of principles that was created by two dietitians. And I'll probably talk about this a little bit more in another episode. And I will also link to it in this episode that we actually have an intuitive eating wellness webinar replay on our YouTube channel if you want to check that out. But that is a set of 10 principles that talks about. Yes, mindful eating is included in there, but it's also an overall approach to kind of detaching away from some of the, norms and expectations that are required, or are seemingly required of us when we engage in health and wellness habits. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, and I'll clarify that again in another episode, or you can check out the link to the recording that we have on our YouTube channel. So speaking about all of this, right, everything that I just shared with you right now, there's an understanding that I have access to healthy, affordable, nutritious food. I have the ability to spend money and secure and store and prepare those things. Let's talk a little bit about some challenges that might happen in the world of mindful eating. It might not be for everybody, or there might be some ways that we have to navigate around the challenges. So some of the challenges could be related to physiological disorders or chronic conditions. For instance, if you have diabetes, type 1, type 2, gestational diabetes, there could be a mindfulness approach to that. You're also going to have to take into account your meal planning because you want to make sure that your blood sugars are stabilized throughout the day. And it does rely a little bit more also on timing of things. So being mindful of how much you're eating over the course of the day, what you're eating over the course of the day, and the timing of things to make sure that you're stabilizing your sugars. In the case of somebody who might be diagnosed with a gastrointestinal issue, whether it's upper esophageal GERD, right, where you have that reflux or that acid reflux feeling, or it's lower GI things like irritable bowel syndrome, these things can be really hard to navigate because you might not know, at least when you're first diagnosed, and even really sometimes well into the diagnosis, what the triggers are. And so to say to somebody, take a mindful eating approach to that, yes, in a way they're being mindful, but I believe sometimes it might actually be a little bit more apprehensive or restrictive in some cases because anybody with those conditions knows that the slightest change in food could trigger a flare-up or an episode that ends up throwing off their whole day and they don't feel great, whether it's stomach discomfort, whether it's, that reflux feeling, or they end up with a tight, crampy abdomen and go into the bathroom. So in that case, to take a mindful eating approach seems like there's some fluidity to that, whereas someone with a GI issue might feel like they need a little bit more structure and have to take things into account like that. They might not have the flexibility and freedom to say, let me, eat as I feel. But some of those rules could apply, or some of those, not necessarily rules, but those guidances that I've given can apply. Anybody who might be diagnosed with cancer or undergoing cancer treatments like chemotherapy and radiation might be very difficult to mindfully eat because not only is that illness taking over their physical body, but also the treatments can really throw off their hunger cues. It can, and they might actually feel a little discomfort or nauseated when they go to eat. So approaching a situation like that, a condition like that, the mindfulness thing probably has to be put aside. It's more about just sustaining life and making sure you're getting enough to eat over the course of the day and allowing yourself, as far as timing is concerned, small, frequent meals and whatever you can tolerate at the time just to get some calories in you. So again, you might not have the mindful flexibility approach if you're dealing with something like cancer or treatments for that. The older population, so here's where hunger and fullness cues also might be an issue, because as we age, sometimes those hunger and fullness cues tend to disappear, or because we are managing some other issues, conditions, we're living with many things happening at once, or we are on many medications that might end up affecting or throwing off, I guess, the way that our natural body speaks to us. So here too, or we also have olfactory things. I meant to mention that also. So you might have some taste and sensory issues that are di disappearing. They're dissipating. They go away when we get older. So, to mindfully eat and sit there and savor a meal and breathe it in might not really work for the older population who is dealing with some of these challenges. But again, an approach could be to make sure that we have some timing, routine, some structure provided so that at least you can sit down and be able to feed yourself regularly and consistently. The other issue that comes up a lot too is anyone, not just with disordered eating patterns, and I will be sharing with you in a few weeks an episode solely focused on explaining and defining some eating disorders. So hopefully that's going to be helpful for you to learn from. But if you have a clinical, or I should say, a mental health diagnosis of an eating disorder, whether it's anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, binge eating disorder, or some other unspecified disorder, or you have some challenges or not a great relationship with food, mindful eating might not be great for you right now. You might have to have a different course of treatment through seeing a therapist and a dietitian just to make sure that you're getting back with a healthful relationship so that you can eat and nourish yourself. And so honoring those hunger and fullness cues might not really be something that is going to work for somebody who is dealing with that challenge. Another challenge that comes up is access, disparities, health inequities, anything that affects people's ability, as I said earlier on, to even access food. So food is not available to a lot of people, or some people might have restrictions financially of what they can afford. A lot of people forego being able to eat because they have to pay rent or they're trying to feed their children. And so they, as parents, don't eat. So applying this mindful eating approach is really and truly a privilege for those of us who are able to have access to healthy, nourishing, and affordable foods. So take away from all of this what you deem most appropriate. If you have any questions, I would love to hear from you. I always love getting feedback on these episodes. You can also share with me anything else that you might want me to go a little bit deeper into, and I will see you again in our next episode.
Thank you so much for joining me this week on the Dish with Dina podcast. I am Dina D'Alessandro, registered dietitian, nutritionist, founder, and chief executive life changer at Dish with Dina, and I'm also your host. If you like what you heard, I would be so grateful if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, and share this with others who you think might benefit from what we have to offer on these episodes. You can also join my mailing list at dishwithdina.com or email me at info@dishwithdina.com with questions, comments, feedback, and if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, because everybody eats and we all have a story to share. I hope you tune back in next week when we dish again.